Good morning, good afternoon, good evening, good noon time, good night, good noon 30, good midnight, whatever time of day it is. I want you to know I'm Lynn Ferguson and I approve this message. I'm Lynn Ferguson, also known as Lynn Tennyson, your host here on the show, Lynn Spins, a podcast dedicated to Black life in America and all over the world and music. So guys, I recently came across a post and it's a good one, so gather around. It's about censoring the kids' content. The content of the children, even as far back as the cartoons of old for those millennials out there. Yes, millennials, I'm talking to us. So why don't you just sit back, relax, grab a snack, pull up a stack, and just jump in. Lynn's Vince. So I'm in this group called I Was a 90s Nick Kid, and there's a post that was posted by someone and it reads, my 5-year-old and 10-year-old hear me saying laundry day is a very dangerous day, and they heard her saying that and asked me where it was from. I said, oh, my favorite cartoon ever, and they watched and they wanted to watch an episode. So like a good mom, I put it on. Little did I know it would be so kid inappropriate. They could only watch about 2 minutes of it. My 10-year-old said, mom, what kind of cartoon is this? In my head, I'm like the best ever. I still find myself using Rocco lines every once in a while. And it started this like major debate in the comment section where people were exclaiming that they would never show their kids content like this, and it's inappropriate, and you know, there were other people who were being attacked for challenging that, and then there were other people who were saying these cartoons weren't inappropriate, but the ones that are out nowadays are more inappropriate, and saying stuff about, you know, gender and sexuality being introduced into the cartoons and people not having it. I was drawn into some of the comments that I first saw, and there were some comments like, we were built different and our parents didn't care what we watched, or a lot of our cartoons as kids were realistically super inappropriate for us, but here we are, here we all are still, shrugging, lol. Just lot of it went over our heads. And I agreed with that, you know? There's one guy who was one of the detractors as well. He was like kind of, you know, disagreeing with the post of, you know, the part of the post where it's like her kids could only watch 2 minutes of it. And he was like, well, why can't you show your kids, you know, this content if you were able to watch it and you loved it so much? And people start shaming him for not having kids, and clearly he doesn't know this, that, and the third. And I'm just like, oh, okay. So the cartoons weren't successful. We're not talking about them decades and decades later. Like, because clearly you must have been, clearly there must have been parents allowing their kids to watch this content. If the show is something that a whole generation of people remember, like decades later. And it brought up this whole conversation about, you know, what do you show your kids? And it's a really good conversation. I've always had that conversation since I was, you know, younger, since I was a kid. And I talked about, because as a child, I noticed the ushering in of new cartoons. And how a lot of the newer little kid shows I wasn't liking. Whereas I could sit and watch Franklin and Friends at 12, 13, 14 years old, Little Bear, Blue's Clues, Dora the Explorer. I could sit and watch those. Bob the Builder a little bit. Dragon Tales. I could sit and watch those at those different young ages that were older than the age ranges they were geared toward. But I couldn't watch, you know, a lot of the newer things. I didn't like Wonder Pets when it came out. And I vividly remember, ever since it came out when I was like in fifth or sixth grade, I was like avidly against it. And a lot of my classmates loved it. And I was like, no. It's horrible. But there was Wonder Pets, and there were a whole bunch of other ones, but, you know, shows then also started to kind of digress dramatically. So scratch the kinda. Like, you know, in recent episodes, I've talked about how SpongeBob dramatically changed. There's a stark difference between that before 2007 and that after and during. And, you know, same thing with Family Guy, The Simpsons, American Dad. And American Dad wasn't even, I mean, it didn't even take American Dad too long to start just going downhill and just not being funny anymore. But, you know, The Cleveland Show was never funny. I never gave that a chance. And it just never enticed me anytime. You know how you can just like pass by and it doesn't even have to be an episode that you've seen before, a Family Guy or South Park and like, or Beavis and Butthead or King of the Hill. I love King of the Hill. And you don't even have to be familiar with that particular episode. Like, and you'll know, okay, this looks pretty good. And you want to just sit down and like finish it. Like, that feeling, you don't get that feeling from The Cleveland Show anytime you watch any of the episodes. I've come across like three, maybe, episodes, and none of them have interested me. Like, and Cleveland was always just such a horrible character. Like, I never related with his character. I never liked his character. I always thought he was very annoying, you know? Like, and I thought everybody else was actually cool, you know? Cleveland was the, you know, only person who was not cool out of all the dads. Like, and it was like, well, I guess out of all the husbands, because, well, Cleveland had a kid at one point. But, what do you call it? And yeah, Quagmire didn't have kids that he knew of, at least. But, Cleveland was the only non-cool one, and it made a lot of sense, so I never had a problem with it, like when it comes to racism or anything like that, like because he was supposed to be the character he was. There are a lot of, you know, I think it was kind of making fun of, in my perception, seemed to be kind of making fun of a lot of the black guys who kind of get indoctrinated and want to be indoctrinated into white culture as one of them. You know, or as that, you know, as Trump would say, his African-American over there, you know, like a lot of coons and buffoons will try to do stuff like that. And like, you know, they'll have no black people in their lives. And then, you know, except maybe this, you know, black wife who they marry, who maybe acts just as white as them. And they are very, you know, they kind of lost their soul because they have kind of stamped out every single thing about them that makes them a different, you know, that makes them black, you know? And so now they're not even entertaining the same way that these white guys are entertaining, let alone as entertaining as most black guys would usually be. Cast in a funny show like this. So, you know, that's just what it was, you know. It was really messed up that, you know, it was so spot on. But I say all that to say, But the cartoons have gotten back, worse over the years. You know, that was a little tangent, but the cartoons have gotten much worse over the years. And you could say, you know, I've been thinking about this, mulling it over, and thinking, you know, part of it is attributed to, you know, the lack of viewership of cable TV for cable TV because of all of the modern, you know, media advances and what kids are doing at this point. Like they're watching stuff online, you know, or things that need an internet connection to watch, like you know, like they're watching YouTube. You know, they're growing up with tablets and cell phones and shit. When I was happy to get a Sidekick too at like 11, 12 years old, and I felt like I was privileged, you know? And, you know, it was just like, and I couldn't call on it or anything. All I could do was play games on it and just get used to having a phone, but not having anything that I could do with it. It was weird. But there is an argument that can be made that the kids nowadays are so able to access, you know, everything with the internet and everything. It's been established for a while. Like it was getting established during our time, you know, where we could go with the internet and social media. Now it's there and it's still progressing and developing. So, like, and there is an argument to be made that the kids are now so in tune with things that we did not learn until we were older. You know, that the cartoons wouldn't go over their heads a lot of the same way that a lot of the cartoons went over a lot of our heads. Like, I'll be honest. I've always been a very mature person. My sperm donor did not care what we watched, so he didn't care what he watched in front of us. So I saw, you know, really epic movies like Star Wars and the Lord of the Rings and Blade and The Matrix and stuff like that, you know, at like 3 and 4 and 5 years old. But I also saw some, you know, movies with a lot of sex in it, like full on sex, movies with a lot of other, you know, these were adult films for adults that, you know, I would just be sitting in the living room in front of him watching, you know, because he was watching it and I just came in, saw what they were watching, sat down and watched it. So, you know, it wasn't told to go to my room or whatever. So, but the man was, you know, crazy. So, hence I call him sperm donor. But that stuff, the adult stuff that I was watching, affected me in every single way. The little kid stuff that I watched did not. And see, that's where the difference is. I'm different because, you know, there are a lot of people like me, but I, in particular, you know, unlike the majority of my generation, grew up with everything from sitcoms like King of Queens, Everybody Loves Raymond, Cheers, Friends, all the way up to, you know, Matlock, up to shows like Matlock, and Law and Order and things like that, all the way to everything adult when it comes to TV shows. When it comes to TV shows, when it comes to movies, when it comes to just media or cinematic content, period. The little kid shows are not the things that did it for me. So when I did, I will say that because I grew up with that other stuff, the adult stuff, I did understand a lot, and because I was always pretty smart, I did understand and mature for my age. I did understand, a lot of the content that they were throwing. So, like, I always knew Rocco was a phone sex operator, but I wasn't like going to school and like doing lewd things or like whatever the case may be. You know what I'm saying? So, you know, it's like these types of things, and the majority of people watch these things. Like, the majority of our generation, as millennials, will tell you that we know a lot of these shows, Ren and Stimpy, Cow and Chicken, Rocko's Modern Life. So, I don't know. My opinion is just that I don't think that we can sit here and just say that, because like some people were saying, oh, they're teaching people gender and, you know, sexuality in these, you know, new cartoons. I feel like Rocko is better than that because it was more appropriate. And it's like, okay, we're talking about a main character who's a phone sex operator. or we're talking about teaching kids about gender and sexuality. Which one do you actually want your kids to know about? There's no actual reason you really should want your kids to know about phone sex operators. So I can understand people's qualms with it, but like, there's no reason that you should. I would rather my kids learn about what they're supposed to be learning about anyway, which is, you know, at one point your kids do need to know about sex. They do need to know about protection and things like that. But obviously that's more in the later teen years, mid to late teen years. Not, you know, adolescent kids who are watching fucking Little Bear. But, you know, when it comes to gender, yeah, gender is a thing that even adolescent kids should be talked to about, because we talked to them about it already. You enforce these gender norms and stereotypes on them already. So like, what's the problem with, you know, showing a character who's gay, who's a gay kid in the show? He's not kissing anybody. He's not having sex with anybody. And even if he was kissing somebody, what do you call it? You all show little girls kissing little girl cartoons, kissing little boys, and vice versa. So it's like, you can't have it one way and not the other. And that's the thing. You either have to completely ban the cartoons that are, you know, doing anything involving sex or sexuality or gender, or you have to accept that since Acme, since Looney Tunes, cartoons have been racist, bigoted in other ways. They've been adult, they've been kid friendly, they've been and even the kid ones, if we stick to that, they've been racist, they've had sexual innuendos, they've touched the topics of sex and gender, and even gender in ways that people say nowadays is somehow being, you know, introduced for the first time, when we had male characters like Bugs Bunny walking around with blonde, you know, pigtails, singing opera, deceiving a man into believing that he was, you know, this sexy, you know, woman. So it's like, it's okay when we're making fun of these different categories of people, but when we're actually humanizing them and we're making it so that they can, you know, better live in this society, and you know, with people being more aware and talking about certain things, because when you talk about certain things, you take the stigma away. And one of the other ways I feel about it is millennials are one of the best generations, to be quite honest with you, in my opinion. We have what it takes. So it's just crazy, because it's like we didn't grow up and become like the worst of the worst. So why is it a problem for us to show our kids cartoons we grew up with, you know? People were listing other cartoons that were inappropriate, like Ah Real Monsters. And so I was like, what? Ah Real Monsters? Since when? It's just crazy. So I don't know. I think people are just really sensitive nowadays. And that's why these kids ain't got no cartoons. And don't get me wrong, there are some great cartoons out, but overall, it's not banging like it was banging when we were kids. When we were kids, cartoons were the be-all, end-all. But it was because that's all we had as kids. It's not all we had, you know. But when it comes to media, that's all we had. We didn't have Facebook. You know, when I was a kid, we had Facebook, but we didn't get it until, at least I didn't get on Facebook until high school. But, well, I think I got on Facebook right before high school, but whatever. But we didn't have social media like that, you know, and if we did, we didn't really know about it. And it wasn't like the norm to have a social media account. And until we got a little bit older as kids. And it also was the only other thing we could do aside from playing video games or PC games on the computer or when it comes to media. So it's like now kids have access to every kind of media imaginable. So if something does go over their heads, which most likely it won't because these kids are on some other shit nowadays. If something does go over their heads, they can look it up easily. And they know how to do that. Because it is so easily accessible. So it's more prone to happen. You know? When I was a kid, I didn't think, ooh, what does that mean? Let me look it up on Google. Kids nowadays, I do see them saying, okay, ooh, what was that phrase? What does that mean? And then Googling it. So I understand both sides of the coin. And for me personally, I couldn't imagine having kids and not raising them on the cartoons that I grew up with and letting them choose the ones they want to watch too. But to each their own.